America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of education, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online bachelor's, master's, and doctoral education degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with observational and hands-on experience in the field. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 29th day of August. Ooh, 29th day, wow. Boy, this summer is going by fast. It really is. And I'm Pastor Sanders. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have as our producer none other than Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And, of course, he came back. He wasn't supposed to be on tonight, but he was out traveling around again. But he's back tonight with me, Pastor Joe Larson.
Yeah, good evening. Your highly unpaid professional assistant is back at work.
Yep. Well, let's do that. Let's get to work. One of the things I'm going to do tonight is we finished up pretty much the last week Bible message on who had the attributes and all the characteristics that we find in the Bible. The best candidate for that, and that was Barack Obama. Tonight, though, one of the things I was going to do tonight because of people, you know, ask the same questions over many times over and over and over, and they want you to preach on the same messages, you know. Pastor, would you preach on this? And yeah, but I've already preached on that 50 times. But anyhow, one of the questions that we get, will everyone be saved? Now, Joe, this never happened. You never heard anybody preaching that lunacy 20 years ago, you know?
No, not that I'm sure can recall. It's really been a relatively new phenomenon.
Well, it's not absolutely new, but it...
But I mean, as far as the mass, the organic utterances going on, the, you know, what's happening out there.
I think a lot of that had to say to do with the Pope when the Pope said he doesn't think that anyone's going to hell or that there is a hell. And that,
yeah, I think that started a lot of this. He also said quite a few other things that I think led people astray since he took his post.
Well, anyhow, the Bible answers the question very, you know, I mean, really answers it very well. But I think probably the good place to start would be over in Matthew chapter 7, when our Lord's speaking. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23.
All right. You want me to read some of that?
Well, read 13 and 14 and then stop.
All right. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many be there to go therein, thereat. because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that.
Okay, now that's pretty clear to me. I mean, there's no fog there, right?
Sad, because it means that there's a lot of people going to hell, and a narrow group of people going to heaven.
Okay, so go over to start with verse 21. 21 through 23.
Everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Why would he say that? If they said that they were doing these things in his name,
but,
why would...
Well, we were supposed to be doing his will, and his will means his way. Not only doing it his way, but understanding how he wants us to be obedient. And give ourselves to him. So they're doing it on their own for their own glory, not giving him the glory. There could be a whole multitude of reasons, I could see.
Yeah, well, these were basically false apostles saying these things to him.
Wasn't it for their own glory, you know, or stature or something? They wanted to jump on the bandwagon, but they really weren't, you know, they weren't really his servants.
Well, that's true, but in some cases, Joe, they forget you can't lie to God. You can't lie to God to get away with it. And they flat out lied to him. You know, remember when Cain, you know, lied to God. He said he didn't know nothing about what happened to his brother, right?
Yeah.
And so there's plenty of times in Scripture. And so he makes it very clear there that,
word doeth the will. Remember, the name of the church is doers of the word. And we have talked many times, Scripture said, not only be ye a doer of the word, it says be a doer of the work and a doer of the law. And
right. You
put those together, that's pretty clear. He wants us to be out there doing something, but doing as he commands, right?
Absolutely. And so here, again, he looks upon their hearts, and if those people are in favor of their own philosophy or complex experiences, like you said, okay, they're doing things for themselves and trying to convince God the otherwise, right?
Right.
And so here, and so we know that
isn't
it many
like
places.
I just thought of some. Isn't that kind of like one of those prosperity preachers that's waving the Bible but making all kinds of money, buying million-dollar homes and traveling or multiple homes, and
yep. It
just fits right in with them, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That would be a very good example of that. I would say.
Never knew you waved that Bible, but, you know, how many people did you make realize they're a sinner and they needed a Savior? And all of a sudden, wait a minute here. That was trying to make people happy, make them put money in the collection plate, make them build big, pretty buildings and, you know, have great choirs and orchestras. And we put on a heck of a good show on Sundays, Lord.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, too. That very same people you're talking about, Word of Faith movement, to the big prosperity, they preach that repentance is not necessary for salvation. Now, why would they preach that repentance is not necessary for salvation? If people were really getting saved, then they would know not to be giving money to these prosperity churches, wouldn't they?
That's right, exactly. And, just your money will buy off your conscience, and we tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear. And like you and I have said multiple times in this program, we're here to tell you the truth, tell you what God says to be preached, and because you need to hear the truth.
All right, there's a lot in the Bible that tells you that not everybody's going to heaven. There's a lot. In fact, there's a lot that tells you the vast majority of people are going to hell, but Let me just read verse Revelation 21, verse 8. Just one more verse. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, you know, I hate to say it, but what I just read, that's virtually the platform of the populace of the Democratic Party. They have turned to everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, every kind of unclean wickedness they belong to. They embrace it, don't they?
Exactly. What verse did you just read?
Revelation 21, verse 8.
Well, I was thinking right there in Matthew 8, it said, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yep. Well, yep. Here, when it talks about, they're telling you, repentance is not necessary. Repentance is not necessary. If you turn over to Luke chapter 13.
Yep.
And in Luke chapter 13, if you would like to read verses 1 through 5.
All right. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's kind of clear, isn't it?
Pretty clear to me. That was the Lord Jesus telling them. Okay. But I mean, you know, here, Noah preached repentance for 120 years. John the Baptist, the first time he preached repentance. The first time Jesus preached publicly, he said...
He said, repent, right?
Absolutely. Now, the other big thing is, you know, and that's another false doctrine that you're getting from the Prosperity Church. Another one is this, that you can lose your salvation.
Gee, we've been preaching once saved, always saved, right?
Right, and I get letters from these heretics telling me that by preaching that, we're going to go to hell. We're going to go to hell for preaching that.
Oh.
Why don't you turn over to Ephesians chapter 1?
All right. Ephesians 1, all right.
Okay, read verses 3 through 6.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And then it says, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Let me ask you this. What has God failed at? There are people out there, the Pope said Jesus, humanly speaking, failed at Calvary. But what
failed?
I mean, if he failed at Calvary, what are we doing here now?
We have no hope, nothing, because, well, the Scripture made it plain. He was what God called him, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. I mean, he had to die. He was at once in perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. The Scripture is very clear. God required the shedding of blood for the remission of sin, and instead of destroying all mankind, because we're all sinners and we all deserve death, he sent his son to be a sacrificial death for us who would accept him and call him Lord.
I know, but you see, the question is, what has God ever failed at?
Okay. Oh, he's failed at nothing.
Okay, so he hasn't failed here when he says this, but If you turn over...
He sent his son to go to the cross. That wasn't a failure. That was the whole purpose of Christ coming to this earth as a man, as God and man, as a, you know, walking this earth as a man. Other than that, there was no purpose at all for Christ to ever come.
Okay, go to, read me verses 13 and 14.
Okay, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Okay, so now if we go back
that's
to...
That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, right? Given us by Christ.
Yeah, but if we go back to verse 3, blessed is the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Okay, now, when we go over here,
earth, right?
he's telling you where what is the very first spiritual blessing you can receive? It's salvation.
That's the first. The indwelling of the Spirit is your down payment. You are sealed. We just read it. You are sealed, you know, with that Holy Spirit of promise.
The important thing here, Joe, is who is the sealer? Who is the
God
sealer?
God himself.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus is the sealer.
Right.
Okay, and the Holy Spirit is the seal, and so your salvation is kept in heaven. It's kept in heaven.
Right, not on this earth, in heaven.
Right. So if you're going to lose it, what you have to do is, obviously, you can't lose it because you don't have it. I mean, you can't lose what you don't have, right?
Right.
Pardon?
You can't keep something you do not have.
Right. So, you can't lose something. Like, you can't lose my wallet because you don't have my wallet, right?
Right. I'm sealed. He gave me the indwelling of that Holy Spirit of God, and God said he's never going to what? Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You are mine. You are bought and paid for by my blood.
Yep. So now here, the point is, if you want it, so there are some people that say, well, maybe you can't lose it, but you can give it away. You can't do that either. You see, give me because
mad at you for behavior and take you a little earlier than you were, going to go. Thought you were going to go. You can be punished, but you're still going to go because he promised you.
You don't lose your salvation, do you? No,
no,
you can't lose it because you don't have it.
I cannot lie. He said, once you're sealed with the promise, you are his. There is nothing that can take you out of God's hand.
Okay. But, the Bible's pretty specific on that you can't lose. In effect, if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you read here,
excuse me, I'm having a cough problem.
Okay.
Can you grab that for a minute?
Yeah. So over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire, okay? And so he's making a point that if we fail, you're right, God takes us home, and you find in Hebrews chapter 12 very clearly, God will chastise his people, but you don't lose your salvation.
Well, your sons, if you're not, it said also, he only chastises his sons. He does not chastise the non-believers.
Right. Okay, the next one is the church in the tribulation. There are a bunch of people out there that teach that we're going to have to go through the tribulation period. Okay. Would there be any purpose, any reason, that's not totally contrary for the church to go through the tribulation period. The purpose of the tribulation period is what? For the purification of the nation of Israel.
Right. And the church is not the nation of Israel. It's the born-again believers, the lively stones that built, the lively stones that built a living church built upon the cornerstone, which is Christ, the rock. And we built a living, living church that worships the living, risen Lord. That has nothing to do with Israel, right?
Well, but the other part of that purpose of the tribulation period, okay, is also to bring judgment upon the rebellious nations.
And the church has not received judgment because we've already been what? We have confessed our sins. We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. We have been made pure in God's sight.
Yep.
So there's no judgment for those who have been washed clean by the blood.
Well, yeah, there we have the Bema Seat judgment. We are.
Well, yeah, but that's different. That's not, you're not being judged by your sin.
We're being judged by our works. So now here, if you go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and read verse 10, it says, "And to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Okay? And so,
1 Thessalonians 10?
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians, there is no 1 Thessalonians.
10, I'm sorry.
Yeah, chapter 1.
You know. 1 verse 10, I missed that.
Yeah.
We do things like that. Yeah, delivered. That's pretty clear. Delivered us from the wrath to come, and the wrath is the judgment that's going to be brought to the earth. Right.
Right. If you go over to
Revelation 3, maybe
1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9.
5 first. All right. Got it.
Go ahead.
Which verse?
Verse 9.
Verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ."
Well, the wrath is the tribulation period, the wrath of God. But then you had a good one, too, if you go to Revelation chapter 3 and read verse 10.
Yep. That says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth."
All right. So we can see pretty clear you can't lose salvation, huh?
Right. And what was that first one we just came from?
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 9.
I'm sorry. Verse what?
Thessalonians
1, yeah. 9. One,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, The last thing is the dietary laws. There are those, the pork police, that tell us that, and I get letters from that if we continue to eat pork or shellfish, and if we continue to worship on Sunday instead of Saturday, we're going to hell. Mm-hmm. If we go over to Colossians chapter 2, and we read verse 16 and 17. I'll just read it. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holiday or a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath, which are the shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ." And so here, Christ has paid for all of our sins, and believers, Joe, have been saved entirely by grace. So here we should not allow ourselves to be intimidated by either legalistic stipulations like the Sabbath, pagan rituals. He also says here, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the judgment of the world, why, as through living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, which are to perish with using, after the commandments and doctrines of men?" Okay. And so that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yes, to me it is. I see nothing complicated about that at all.
Well, go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and read verses 1 through 5. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5.
Sorry, I went to 1 Peter. I went to the wrong place.
I can do it. Now the Spirit speaking.
I just went to, I don't know why. 1 Peter 1?
No, 1 Timothy chapter 4.
4, gotcha. Okay. 1 Timothy 4 and...
No, to verse 1 through 5.
Verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Doctrines of devils, it says. Go ahead.
Quite strong. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And that's why we do a blessing before we eat, because if
that's
God
right.
blesses the food...
All right, we'll be right back.
Today, we're all going to learn a new term. It's only two words. Now listen closely. Can all of you say constructive fraud?
Constructive fraud!
Did you ever get the feeling, as you're staring at the ceiling, that this game of life we're playing fair? Seems as fast as we can make it, there's a hand that grabs and takes it till they plant us in a grave somewhere. Like a rodent on a treadmill, we keep pushing for it uphill, but we never seem to get too far. Well, if you think you're being taken, then you're ready to awaken to the truth of what we really are. We're all indentured, servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered, feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some socialistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is, we're all saps who pay our taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. Could the state of our condition be the product of omission, what we didn't learn in public schools? And did our fathers all through history all fight and die for liberty so we could play the tyrant's fools? And can you call it education when it's all indoctrination to obey the hidden powers that be? Did we fight the revolution? Did we win the world wars just to slumber into slavery? We're all indentured, servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered, feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some humanistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is, we're all saps who pay those taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. While Franklin and Eleanor were telling us they hated war, they made a deal behind our backs. They said the bankers could enslave us for a portion of our wages, and today we call it income tax. But what they failed then to tell us was the way they planned to sell us into statutory slavery. Now it's called constructive fraud. Some even claim the wrath of God. I call it social insecurity. Let's stop being indentured, servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered, feudal knaves, and reclaim our lost posterity. Rise up and proclaim liberty. It's high time we rock the boat and make some waves. 'Cause as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb. They'll start us on their communistic crumb. And the naked truth and fact is, we don't have to pay those taxes. Yes, it's time we show those banksters, those international gangsters. So let's turn the tables and spoil all their fun.
All right, way to go, Carl. My old buddy Carl Klang, he's singing in heaven now. Yeah. Anyhow.
He's got a bigger choir.
Yep, I got an announcement. Heritage Club of Northeast Ohio's 4th Annual Judeo-Christian Patriot Rally at the Veterans Park in Painesville. That's Saturday, September 7th, and I guess I'm going to be there because my old buddy Hal Warner says, you got to be there, Pastor. You know, and I guess I'll be speaking there. Starts at 11 and goes to 4 p.m. Starts at 11 and goes to 4 p.m. And again, that's the 4th Annual Judeo-Christian Patriotic Rally out there. Boy, you have a whole lot of Trump material be passed out. Speaking of Trump, there's something happening, Joe, that is, you're not hearing anything about. You're not hearing anything about in the news media. And that is the deep state, the so-called Justice Department, under the orders of Obama, Biden, and Kamala Harris. They're hiring, Joe, thousands of lawyers. They're getting the most corrupt lawyers that they can find. Thousands. Right now, they're in the process of hiring thousands of lawyers. They're doing this stuff without permission. And what's happening is their goal is to make these positions permanent. They're working some legal mumbo-jumbo mischief, making these so Trump can't come in and clean house.
Right. We talked about that. I think it was Tuesday night where they were judges and immigration judges, all kinds of people. Yep.
Yeah. And so so the whole point is because...
Hundreds.
Yeah. Well, the idea was Trump was going to clean D.C. and fire about a couple hundred thousand federal workers.
That's why they're panicked. That's why they've got to stop Trump from being elected, because that would kind of take the wind out of the sails of the deep state. That would give us back our government, would change so many things in the country that, it'd ruin the revolution.
Well, you see what's happening now in Colorado there, in Aurora, Colorado, where they brought the gangs are taking over. Yeah. They're taking over cities, and this is what... The Kamala, her interview didn't go so well for her, Joe. It didn't go well at all.
It's word salad time again.
Well, the whole point is what she's doing. She's, they're telling her, look, people like Trump's positions on the economy, so what you just got to go do is you just got to go convince people that that's your position now, too, see?
Yeah.
And people, they tried telling people, Joe Obama Biden kept telling people, and he demanded that the press tell people that he has beat inflation and the economy is good, you see.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you see the business news today? Big Lots. Discount home retailer Big Lots is on the brink of bankruptcy after the falling sales the past year or so. They're seeking Chapter 11 protection within the next couple of weeks. 1,400 stores could be closed. Big Lots stock dropped 50% Thursday morning, falling to 56 cents a share. At the time this article was published at 12:31 Eastern Daylight Time, and I'm going by the London Daily Mail, of course, which beat all the American press to the story, and the company is drastically searching for money, somebody to lend them some money to stop the bleeding, but basically it said the chain has... it's taking fall consistently for each of the past quarters. It lost $132 million in the first 3 months of 2024. The CEO, Bruce Thorne, warned that the last earnings call, Americans are cutting back on spending on big-ticket items, especially furniture, which was their bread and butter, hurting sales because nobody has any money. Because of Bidenomics. Oh, isn't that interesting? Bidenomics again.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because she was saying when they asked her about her flip-flop, on her flip-flops, and she said, well, no, her values have not changed. In other words, so her values is what, remember, she was supposed to be the border czar. Remember what she said? She said
her czar? No, just she was supposed to go to South America and, you know, help them. That's all she was given to do, right?
Yeah, well, she said that, I remember hearing her say that the border, that there should be no closed borders. The border should be completely open, completely open.
Mm-hmm.
And now, then here.
Well, how about fracking? I've got a thing on her. She said she made it, here's a quote from her. No, and I made clear that on the debate stage in 2020, I would not ban fracking as vice president. I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not. But you go back, and when she was running in 2019, she said in CNN's town hall meeting, there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking on my very first day in office. This person has talked out of both sides of her mouth. I've got another half a dozen, you know, things like that where she said one thing and now she's saying, oh, no, I didn't say that. That's the wonderful thing about the Internet. The Internet saves all this stuff. And if you want to do a little research, you can spend the time. You go find out, like, yeah, she did say, oh, I've never been, you know, wanting to ban fracking. Well, I'm going to ban it on my very first day in office.
Well, you know, last
fire,
Saturday,
fire,
I believe it was.
Fire, right?
I believe they commemorated the when what happened and the killing of our 13 soldiers in Afghanistan last Saturday. I think it was when Trump, you know, set the reef at the
right.
At Arlington,
we went and honored the 13, and they didn't even. They've never even called the parents. They've never even.
No, she criticized. She criticized Trump for doing that, for going and honoring it.
Yeah.
And so, but that was the most embarrassing.
What was the rationale for telling him he was wrong?
That was the most embarrassing day in the history. That was the most embarrassing day in the history of the United States, is when that happened.
Because the president and vice president ignored it and didn't even mention it, didn't talk to the parents. That's why it was the most embarrassing
day. No, I'm talking about the most embarrassing day was when we pulled out of Afghanistan.
That's true.
When we took off, pulled our military out first, you never do that, and left all of those people, all of our supporters there at the mercy of the Taliban.
Right, you get everybody out first. That's supposed to happen.
And then Biden sold $85 billion worth of equipment, probably for pennies on the dollar.
Also, he gave away one of the biggest Air Force bases in that part of the world with all the equipment, everything there, the repair facilities, the fuel, all that stuff. You imagine
a very strategic airport.
You've never heard what that's worth, have you?
Well, that was a very strategic because of its position, the importance close to China.
Yeah.
And so...
strategic, but think of the money. I've never been able to find a value on how much money was put into that base, Bagram.
A lot. And,
I know you and I know it's a huge number, but it's interesting how that has been kind of disappeared from the Internet.
Yeah.
If you try and find it, I haven't been able to.
Now, remember, she says her values haven't changed, that she was all for the Green New Deal, and that's simply trading capitalism for communism.
Yeah.
That's all that is, okay?
Remember, on three occasions, I was the last person in the office. I agreed with him on this. I agreed with him on that. I agreed with him on the withdrawal from Afghanistan. The last person in the office, I looked at him and said, yep, you're right.
But now she's trying to back away from all of that. But she's saying one thing and then the other, and now you've got, remember, she was all for defunding the police and defunding the military.
And ICE. She was one of those saying that, they should get rid of ICE. Any more lying is... become acceptable. Apparently the people in the country don't seem to get mad anymore if they're lied to, Pastor Ernie. They just, oh, okay, she... I don't understand it. if somebody lies and it affects you directly, or they say you were having an affair with somebody else's wife and you hadn't even don't even know the name of the person you're supposed to have the affair, somebody's lying about you, you're going to get very angry. And yet here on national issues about the national security, national defense, the military, the all this money that you're having, the government's borrowing, so we're in debt, nobody seems to get mad about lies like that, only if they're personally affected. But I'm personally affected by my taxes. I'm personally affected if the defense capability of the nation has been reduced. I'm personally hurt if our enemies had $85 billion worth of new weapons to kill American soldiers. You and I have kind of a special place in our heart for all those that go out there and serve, right? I'm personally offended. Why aren't the rest of the people out there mad?
Well, a lot of them are frustrated, and a lot of them are just dumbed down.
Yeah, but it should be past frustration. This has been going on, the lies, the deception, the stealing, the corruption, you know, the harm coming to this country with the slavery, with the children that are being, 300,000 children that are missing, they can't account for the sex slavery trade, oh, the drugs flowing in to kill our people. It should be more than frustration. There should be some righteous. God says we're supposed to have righteous anger.
And well, I don't see it. Joe, think about this. You have we're at a country right now where, first of all, they've changed things up. More women, young women, are going to college than men. Now that's changed. It used to be about 8-2. About 80% of them when I was growing up were men, and then. But now that's changed, and mostly women are going to college, and they're being indoctrinated, okay? Now, look, a lot of these young women, I've seen them being interviewed time, and I've talked to them. You've asked them, during the War for Independence, the Revolutionary War, what was the enemy? Who did American fight? And they don't know. Some of them will tell you, it must have been Russia, right?
Germany, I mean, for Germany, I heard somebody say, "Well, when didn't we fight Germany?"
Well, we did fight the Haitians, but they weren't actually wasn't a war with Germany. Those were mercenaries.
I know, but I'm talking about they confused the World War with the Revolutionary War. That's what they were doing.
And what body of water is off the east coast of the United States, and when they said Lake Erie,
I didn't know Lake Erie was an ocean. Did you?
But here, I mean, it's just this is some of the things that we have some. They've really been indoctrinated and really been dumbed down. I mean, just really terrible. But anyhow, this is why. People should be, you're right, they should be totally incensed, but they're not, because they've been so dumbed down. They're the vast majority of people, we were talking about this, the vast majority of people think that if you're not really a really bad person, we'll go to heaven. Remember you had the apostate, and I mean really, really apostate preacher Al Sharpton, has come out and said that God's Word, the Bible, condones abortion. That is a lie from the pit of hell.
Hell, yeah. And sure, not in my King James version. Maybe in one of the new fancy,
today.
What would you call it? Antichrist translations. I would call it Antichrist. Some of them are so far from the King James Bible, they're not even a Bible.
Well, I know that, but look, in the Bible, in God's Word, the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible teaches you that women that abort their babies, that they deserve to die. They should be. That's what the Bible teaches. God's Word, the Bible teaches. All of those, anyone that's involved in killing a child deserves to die. That's what the Word of God teaches. Now, in fact, today I was at the booth at the Geauga County Fair. I was at the Right to Life booth, and... here, probably 99% of the people came through there. We had a lot of people said, thank you for what you're doing. but not too many of them wanted to help us, you know, but they all, that they said thank you, at least for what you're doing. But we had a Democrat come. The Democrat come, and she was a very large, blonde-headed Democrat. And we have the sign up there that says abortion is not health care, it's genocide. Yeah, and she comes up and she comes up and she says, I disagree with this sign here, and it is health care. I said, no, it's not. It's a woman's choice. I said, God has said it's murder. God has said it's murder. Then Pastor Hal was with me, and this woman wanted to castrate Pastor Hal and I, okay? I told her absolutely not. Wouldn't we? And anyhow, she was cussing me, and I says, "Sounds like a very guilty conscience here."
Yeah. When you get that angry, you must feel guilty about something.
Yeah. Well, that's America's national sin, child killing. But remember, Kamala hasn't changed her mind. Now the media is fudging. The media fudges the numbers, and they try to, of course, they try to get people to change their beliefs on killing babies.
I call it more than fudging. Why don't we just say they're outright lying? They lie by omission because they don't tell the truth. They don't give the other side of a story. So, one, they're lying by omission, and then when they fudge, you can call it fudging, but when you are trying to hide the truth from people, God says that's a lie.
Absolutely. Well, they exaggerate when it comes to on that issue. I wish Trump had stood his ground and said, you know, flat out, it's wrong, period, abortion is murder. If I were the president, I would say abortion is murder. It's taking of a human life. We have the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. What is the first thing the Bill of Rights guarantees?
Right to life.
Right. And so
without that right to life, the rest of all the guarantees don't mean much. If they can take your life when you're little, location, what other rights do you need? The right to defend yourself? If you're already dead, you don't need the Second Amendment. You don't need the right to free speech. You can't talk if you're dead.
Well, remember, Kamala's values hasn't changed. She had no problem, remember, with putting the elderly people, putting infected people that were infected with COVID in the nursing homes to go ahead and contaminate and infect the elderly people in there. Here's where she has no problem with it.
That was a good idea.
Yeah. Well, obviously the governor of New York thought the same thing, kill all those people.
Yeah. But it saved him a lot of money because, you know, how the states have to pay so much on the health care, you know, and cover that program. I can't think of the name of the program right now. But anyway, the states are responsible for a lot of money, and the fewer old sick people they have to take care of, the more money is freed up in the budget to go buy votes.
Right. Now, here's what the Democrats have brought us: death by abortion, by euthanasia, by AIDS, by fentanyl.
Or other by, drugs.
By
other
COVID.
Drugs killed a lot of people.
By COVID kill shots, by this trans confusion among the children. You have the highest rate of suicide amongst children we've ever had, ever.
Right, who have actually started the transition. Those that get real mental health counseling usually don't end up doing the transition, and their risk is much better.
Well, you didn't have that. When you and I were growing up, you kids simply grew out of that. They grew out of that, those that had those
tendencies.
There
was no peer pressure to be something different. Everybody was, you're a boy, you're a girl, and it was a done. Look at the Amish community. They don't have transgenders. They're raised that you're a boy, you're a girl, and they miss a lot of the problems that we sure have.
See, that's the point, Joe. You see, they were, when they were having the Democratic Communist Party convention where they were celebrating killing children right there, you know, they were, this is wicked evil.
Free abortions.
Yeah, but what happened, it's what when that woman came out and she said that boys do menstruate. In other words, why they wanted to have these tampon Timmy put the tampon machines. And she said there's certain boys that do. No, those are girls. Those are the so-called transgender girls. They're boys. They're not boys. They're girls, okay? And you see, because they're menstruating, because they are girls. You see, boys don't have their periods. Girls do. This is called common sense. Democrats are completely void. Democrats are completely, totally void of common sense. They have no common sense at all. And so that's just an amazing thing. You know, you look at that and you say, you know, these people, they have become so totally reprobate. It's, you know, this is when you don't know right from wrong, up from down, yesterday from tomorrow. They don't know. They're you know, when Ketan G. Brown, whatever, didn't know what a woman was.
Yeah, couldn't explain it. Yeah, and you're on the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it kind of makes a lot of sense. You're going to rule on major issues, but you don't know what you are as a person. You can't define yourself. I don't think you belong on the court.
Well, the pressure by the Communist Party, the pressure by the liberals to, in the AMA, they pressured them to say, look, you no longer can put a gender down, no longer boy or male or female on the birth certificates, because we don't know if there's a difference, or we don't know if there's only two genders. This is insane, okay?
Well, look at biology. I mean, a female is two X chromosomes in every cell in her body. A male is made up of XY chromosomes in every cell in the body. That cannot be changed. You might, cosmetically, you can make a mask, you can cut something off, you can, you know, do all kinds of weird things, but you cannot change the cellular structure of the body. That includes the cells in the brain, the cells in the heart, the cells in the liver, the cells in your muscles, you know, the cells in your hair all have that either XX or XY chromosomes, period.
That's why I don't try to change any of that, Joe.
Yeah, what are you going to do, change every cell in your body? I don't think so.
Style wouldn't do anything like that, would you, Style?
Haven't yet.
No.
Haven't yet.
Okay.
Hey, one thing real quick. We're getting close to it.
It'd have to be because we're going to go to a break in a few seconds. Go ahead. Now,
Dollar General sinks after painting grim picture of budget shoppers. They're talking about the people don't have any money. They're having to skip their focusing just totally on necessities. Their sales have plummeted. Their stocks went tumbling 32% today, the biggest drop since, you know, in their history.
That was Dollar General?
It started this year, getting worse, worse and worse.
What was that Dollar General?
Yep, Dollar General. And out here
well,
in the rural lands, that's where most of the people go.
You've just had about 10 of those go up around where I live.
Well, they're going broke right now. Their sales forecast is down. Their stock, hey, that's a big stock drop. That's a huge drop in sales and stock, 32%. And they've had a decrease this year, 9% decrease in sales. And they said it looks bleak. What was the headline?
I guess it would be.
Grim picture of budget shoppers.
Huh.
That's Bloomberg and Wall Street Journal both.
Yeah, but you know, here's the other thing. You know the reason they've dropped, they've very conveniently dropped the gas prices right now, and they've done it by draining our reserve. We have no reserve
before
left.
Before election, yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Unbelievable. Put us at high risk. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. We may open the phone lines, take your calls. Be right back. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, You can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.